Good evening, everyone. Welcome along to another eSports Studio. Myself, Ben Constanduras, and I hope you've been enjoying everything that we've been offering you on the VCO channel over the last couple of months, because we've had all kinds of different versions of sim racing on different platforms and, of course, some fantastic chats in the studio. And whilst we've been doing our chat show, there's also been the R-Factor 2 GT Pro Series that has basically been going the same time as we've been on air. So I thought, let's get Series 2 champion onto air, because we haven't really had a chance to chat to many of our Factor 2 competitors because they've been racing at the same time as chat shows. So the first season, you may have seen, kind of ended up quite predictable. Same car for most of the competitors and the same winners each round. This season, though, was a lot more frenetic, and the man that won out eventually was Jan van der Heijden, who joins me now. Congratulations first, Jan.
Thank you very much.
It looked to be a very tough season, the second season of GT Pro. Just how difficult was it from your perspective?
Yeah, it was actually. With the new system introduced, with sort of a penalty ramp in terms of weights, for picking the same car. So that was kind of new challenge for everyone, I guess. So you really had to react, even like in the sort of draft we did with picking the cars to the previous car choices, and make the best decision for yourself and select the right car. And I guess we did a quite good job there. Ended up still with 20 kilos on our car at the beginning of the season, but I guess in the end you can say it turned out to be the right choice for us.
How much was that down to luck, and how much was that down to lots and lots of planning and forecasting exactly how the car could behave with different weights as you progress through the season?
Yeah, I guess we had a rough idea about most of the cars. Obviously, there's still a bit of luck involved. You don't know. Actually, there were 18 people in front of me who were allowed to make that choice. So, obviously, there's still a bit of luck involved, I guess, in terms of getting what you want. You have, I guess, to adapt to the circumstances. But yeah, in the end, it turned out quite well.
But as a Rocket SimSport driver, presumably you're kind of contractually obliged to pick a McLaren, and that's the car you ended up in. Not necessarily the best choice out of the field that you were offered.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And especially like there were two 720S McLaren picked in front of me. But it was still sort of the car of choice for me. I did a lot of testing with the car prior to the season, prior to the draft. And I even did season one with the same car, which didn't end up that well in terms of results for us. But because of that knowledge with the car and obviously having done a lot of, or having had a lot of sea time with it, it was still the goal to pick that car in a way.
And is that what you put down for your success this year over very, very famous names from R Factor 2 that have been kind of winning everything for a long time? You kind of shot to fame in this last season with this championship victory.
I wouldn't say that necessarily, because as I said earlier, we had 18 people in front of us because it was the reverse championship order from last season, where I ended up 12th. So I wouldn't say we benefited the most, obviously more than the 11 people who were supposed to pick after us. But yeah, I guess you could see with like people like Yuri Kastorp or Yannick Simonchip, who ended up quite high last season, still being able to sort of fight for the championship until the last race. It wasn't just purely down to car choice. I think everybody had the sort of a chance there. I wouldn't just purely put it on the car.
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly you want to take the spoils yourself as a driver. Let's talk a little bit about your career then. Where on earth did the love for motorsport for you begin with?
Yeah, for me, obviously, living in Germany, it was the Michael Schumacher hype in Formula One, which kind of brought me into the whole motorsport theme. I tried to get involved in like sort of real motorsport. I did some karting, but for me, living like in northern Germany, where there are not a lot of tracks, not a lot of possibilities to actually go racing, and also not really having the financial backing, it got pretty early. It got pretty clear to me that the motorsport wouldn't be really doable, like the wheelway. And then I guess I sort of got into sim racing. I can't even really specify the point where it got like competitive or where it got real, to say. It was just like playing racing games for fun. Always had some sort of a wheel mounted to my desk, and then it got some sort of more and more professional over the years.
How did you know that it was possible to race others online in this kind of hugely professional environment?
I did some like private leagues on R Factor when I was like 16, 17. That was like the first sort of competitive racing I did. So racing people online, that's where I got my first feel for it. And then obviously I at some point I got approached, like I did some more racing online, and then I got approached and ended up in a team, and that's like where it sort of took up from there.
Yeah, I suppose for many people watching this, they would want to kind of understand how to get into a team and what a team does for you. So how did that process exist? You're entering races as yourself, having a bit of fun, and then suddenly, how do you suddenly become part of a team?
I guess good results and showing good speed on the virtual track helps to kind of get the attention from other people. I guess that's the easiest way to achieve that, I'd say.
So you don't really go hunting for it. It just, for you personally, it came as a Discord contact, an email, a Facebook message. Exactly how did kind of the team begin for you?
Yeah, that was the case. Actually, I did. I was racing as sort of a privateer in all the different competitions, mainly on R Factor, that were available, and that's how I guess my name ended up in the leaderboards, and people like noticed me, and that's how I got approached in the end.
Because your team's pretty cool, Rocket SimSport. Relatively new, well, the team you're in now, a relatively new team, and obviously the Rocket thing, well, I say obviously, maybe not so many people know, but the Rocket name was the name of the engine tuner of Jenson Button, and Jenson's quite heavily involved in your team, right?
He is, yeah. We did the virtual Le Mans last year together, and that was the first time he really got into sim racing, and apparently he liked it that much that he now got involved in even having his own sort of sim racing team.
And Le Mans then, let's talk about that as you brought it up. To you, the best event that you've ever competed in?
By far, yeah, by far. I mean, as I said earlier, like chasing that sort of dream, like many, many young kids do, I guess, trying to get involved in motorsport and sort of like, already realizing that it's probably not going to happen and you're not going to end up in anything close to F1. And then having the chance to actually drive with a former F1 champion, even if it's only virtual, that was, by far the best experience so far,
It must be amazing to have somebody like Jenson Button leaning on you for advice, because that's kind of how it worked, wasn't it, at the 24 Hours Virtual? It wasn't that the stars came in all arrogant and said, we can do it. It was that they needed you guys to go fast.
Yeah, definitely. I was also involved in Formula E and in those sim races with Nissan, and it was the same there. Like every pro driver I worked with so far, they were really open to any sort of advice, like in terms of setting up their sim gear, their computer, and like the sort of tricks to get fast in the sim. yeah, everybody's really, really open. Nobody approached it like I'm the racing driver. I know what to do. So yeah, that's been the case for everyone I worked with so far. Yeah.
Was that a surprise to you? Did you expect them to be a bit more difficult to speak with and difficult to work with?
I guess so. I mean, I you would assume they have the right to do so, but yeah, like everyone I work with so far, really, really down to earth. Like everyone I've met from like the real world racing scene has been super, super nice and easy to work with so far. So yeah, really enjoyable people I met over the past couple of year or so.
It sounds like R Factor 2 is very much your thing. Have you ever had a chance to kind of seriously sample the other platforms?
I did, yeah. I did some iRacing. Didn't end up to being too bad there. I think I left my profile with like 5K iRatings or something, so it didn't go too badly. Oh, yeah. I did F1 Esports. I did those qualifying series. I wasn't too bad there as well. So it's not like I'm... Yeah, at the moment, I guess I'm purely focusing on Air Factor because it's just like the platform I enjoy the most. But it's not like I haven't tried anything else. Yeah.
And do you like the idea, therefore, of being a bit of an all-rounder like the Sebastian Sarrazin, Stefan Sarrazin, sorry, who's Sebastian Sarrazin? Stefan Sarrazin of the esports world, having the opportunity to be fast on different platforms. Is that something you aspire to be?
I like the idea, but like for me personally, it just takes quite a bit of time and effort to get up to speed on a different platform. It's at least that's the case for me. And with me, like having a normal 9-to-5 job and having other life commitments, it was just like, yeah, sort of the best choice to focus mainly on one sim. And yeah, obviously I did with the one I enjoyed the most and I still enjoy the most. So that's, I guess, how I sort of ended up being a sort of R Factor 2 professional, I guess.
And with a full-time job, do you sometimes feel as though you don't have the same amount of time and preparation than some of your competitors?
Probably that's the case, but that's where the team gets involved because that's obviously the biggest thing that changed for me compared to racing as a privateer. You just have people working on the same car, on the same setup. We actually have people just purely for the engineering side of things like looking at data, having suggestions. And with this particular season, there was also like the GG Challenge season that was going forward on RF2, where people kind of try to get into pro, and there we had a lot of guys from our team running with the same car. So that obviously helps to sort of make the most out of your time, having like sessions together, work with different people, having like different approaches. So that really speeds up the process, I guess, in compared to doing it all on your own.
Yeah, absolutely. So it sounds as though the team is incredibly important for you. What do you do in the real world, if you like?
I'm responsible for the human resources in our company. So I take care of around 100 employees and do like the salaries, stuff like that, everything that goes into that. Yeah.
Okay, that's quite different. A lot of the people who we speak to on this chat show who have real world jobs tend to have real world jobs kind of in the computer and IT world and design and things like that kind of link into sim racing, but it sounds very much for you as though that they are two very separate things.
Yeah, definitely that's the case for me at least. And it started off as sort of a hobby, the whole sim racing thing, and as I said earlier, got more and more professional, and now we're here winning sort of the biggest championship in RF2. Yeah.
Do you see it ever as a chance to just do sim racing and not have a real world job, or do you not think that that's a sensible idea?
Of course you think about it, but at the moment, I guess it's the most sensible thing to sort of balance both and have both things at the same time. But I guess I wouldn't hesitate if the right offer appears at some time.
Must be hard to take off one work hat and put on the virtual helmet, if you like, at the end of a day and get yourself properly into the zone for racing.
I mean, it's not that hard. In the end, it's something I enjoy to do, and it's something I do, yeah, just because I have fun. It got more and more competitive, so that I just can sit in the rig and drive something like iRacing or something like that. That's those days are sort of over. If I do something, I get quite competitive about it nowadays. So yeah. But it's a nice thing, like having those competitions where you work with your teammates and then like the build up the process to those races. It's nice. It's doesn't feel like work at all. Like it's a thing I enjoy, really. So yeah, not too bad at all.
Awesome. So what's next then? What's the next objective for you? Now you're a champion in the GT Pro Series. Is there many other offerings in the R Factor 2 world? It does seem as though the R Factor 2 world is a very exciting place to be right now, even if nobody knows necessarily where it's going next.
It is, yeah. I mean, obviously with the big one, the Virtual Le Mans last year, we had a quite decent event on our platform, I'd say. We as a team, we are also participating in the VEC Championship, where the next one is the 24-hour of Le Mans. So that's the next big race. And then, I guess the next season of GT Pro is just at the horizon. So looking forward to that as well.
And of course, VCO themselves are putting on the GT World Cup. What are we calling it? I keep forgetting what it's called. But anyway, the World Championship, the World Series, encompassing all the different platforms and trying to find the best team. And I'm sure Rocket SimSport will be wanting to be involved in that one. So you might have to brush up a little bit on some of the other platforms if they ask a call on you to be a participant in that as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a really cool format. Just like seeing how people get on different platforms and just trying to find out the best guys, sort of. So I think that's going to be a pretty cool event. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Jan, thank you very much for talking to us. Really great chat, and congratulations once again on your championship for season 2. Of course, season 3. We'll soon be kicking off once the summer is out the way, I imagine. Hope to speak to you again as a champion somewhere else.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. Maybe someday we'll get your boss man, Jensen Button, on our VCO Esports studio. We've had something like 40 odd of these studios. We've chatted to all kinds of different people, whether it be professional racing drivers. Antonio Felix da Costa chatted to us once from a hotel after a day's worth of simulators at work for his Formula E team. We've chatted to the very best in sim racing, the likes of Josh Rogers, world champion. I think we've spoken to him twice. And we've chatted to some of the very, very most important people in the sim racing world from the very beginning when we chatted to the likes of Dom Doohan, all the way to now when we've had very recently the head of Fanatec, the head of Formula One, the head of SRO, and all of the massive events that are happening around the sim racing world right now. So make sure, if you haven't watched them all, you flick back through our extensive library, and next week we'll bring you yet another new face to the esports studio. Until then, enjoy your racing.